Finding Christ in Cinema and the Great Commission Transmission Network is made possible by the support of listeners like you. To learn more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we bundle up with Cratchit the Frog and look for Christian themes in The Muppet Christmas Carol. What does this film show us about Scrooge's repentance? How can a thankful heart help us keep Christmas all year round? All that more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 120. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation. Salvation, and ultimately, our Christian walk. You're tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Brendan, after a week off, recovering from Thanksgiving, how was your Thanksgiving?
It was nice.
Awesome. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. We are back here at the first week of December, our third annual Decemberween.
No, December, it's not Decembermas.
Yes, celebration. So three movies for this month, all Christmas themed. But what did we talk about last week? No, two weeks ago, last show.
Oh, we went back to my childhood.
Yes, we did.
We took that trip back down memory lane.
Memory lane in the savannah.
The nostalgia highway.
Oh, goodness.
Down the African savannah.
Yes, and all the kids say, yay, because we got
The Lion King
over with. We did do The Lion King.
I need to be more wary of your segues because I should have known.
It's a setup.
I should have known.
It was a good episode. It was a really good episode. Did you have anything, any addendums, afterthoughts, oh, and another thing?
No, I think we got it.
We got that one, didn't we? Friends, if you didn't listen to us discuss Christian themes in Walt Disney's classic, The Lion King, get over to ChristInCinema.com. It will be right there at the top of the page. We have some feedback coming up later on in the show of some listeners' response to our coverage.
We have quite a bit of feedback today.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that later on in the show. But Brendan, third annual, well, speaking of third annual, this is the third annual viewing of
A Christmas Carol.
Yes, but this week, this year, mm-hmm. Which version are we going to talk about?
Oh, well, we're just going to watch A Christmas Carol with the Muppets.
The Muppet Christmas Carol. You ready to go to the movies?
Yeah.
Walt Disney Pictures presents a Jim Henson production of A Classic Christmas Tale.
Humbug.
He's the world's greediest man.
It's Ebenezer Scrooge.
Until the magical night he meets someone extraordinary.
Hello.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
I'll drink to Mr. Scrooge, even though he is stingy and badly dressed.
Humbug.
There goes Mr. Humbug. There goes Mr. Grimm.
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here?
If they gave a prize for being me, the winner would be him.
Yes, Mr. Cratchit.
If you please, Mr. Scrooge, the bookkeeping staff would like to have an extra shovel full of coal for the fire.
Our assets are frozen.
How would the bookkeepers like to be suddenly
unemployed?
It's Charles Dickens' classic tale, as only the Muppets can tell it.
It's good to be heckling again.
It's good to be doing anything again.
Stuffed with holiday warmth and cheer.
Tis the season to be jolly and joyous.
This is the movie to see, to share, to cherish with someone you love.
Thank you for making me a part of this.
The Muppet Christmas Carol.
God bless us, everyone.
Whatever.
I've said many times on this show that I believe Charles Dickens's A Christmas Carol is probably the greatest non-scripture
ever penned. To me, I think it is the most poignant, most important, most moving, most beautiful writing in the English language. And I know that's a bold statement, but it's because of the power of this story.
Sure.
The way that it is crafted is absolute art.
Mm-hmm.
Expertly crafted. Mm-hmm. It couldn't have been written any better.
No.
And it seems that, Brendan, it seems that you cannot do a bad version of A Christmas Carol. At least I haven't seen one as of yet. Now, we say this is the third time that we've talked about this film. Last year, episode number 82 of Finding Christ in Cinema,
yes,
for those who want to go back and listen to it. What version did we cover last year?
We did the 2009 Robert Zemeckis...
Animated?
CGI animated adaptation with Jim Carrey as pretty much every character in every character.
Why did I use that last year? Good. I don't know.
But Jim Carrey, he voices pretty much every character in the film.
I thought my jokes were bad.
Thank you, Heath.
Not only voiced it, he was the character.
He was the character. Motion cap.
Yeah, it's mocap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yep. See, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
I would have forgotten that. I did.
Well, except for Bob Cratchit was played by FCC's very own Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. And there were a couple more
famous folks. But
yeah, yeah.
Jim Carrey did Scrooge. He did the ghosts of... He did all the spirits.
And he did Marley, I think, as well, didn't he?
Did he?
No.
No, that was Gary Oldman.
That was Oldman, too.
Yes.
Okay, so we got to figure out who
did
that. We'll have to revisit it like our listeners will.
And a powerful adaptation. The year before that, our very first Christmas season here on Finding Christ in Cinema, we covered the Sir Patrick Stewart version.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that was done on the BBC. What did you think of that version?
I thought it was all right.
All right?
I thought it was all right.
I thought that's probably my favorite one because I love Patrick Stewart, and he does a one-man stage show.
He does a lot of very interesting things,
yes,
in theater.
He's an artist.
But this particular story,
yeah,
he does. Yeah, it's a one-man show. It's really cool.
Wow. And here's the thing is that each... So now we're on our third one, and they each have something new to bring for us to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
A different thing to focus on. But okay, anyway, this year we are doing the Muppets. Their version of the Christmas of A Christmas Carol. Brendan, this is from 1992.
Uh-huh.
So you were 2 years old when it came out.
This was another one of those movies. Over the 3 years we've done this podcast, Michael,
mm-hmm,
I've talked about films that have been at my grandma's house. That would
Wizard of Oz, and
yep, it would be put on repeat.
Yeah,
just depending on like if it was the summer or the spring, it would be the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
because you know the flowers outside,
yes,
kind of sort of look like Munchkin Land.
Yes,
and that was just the general mindset when it was Christmas. This was that movie,
huh? So you truly grew up with,
yeah,
the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
What are some of your fond memories?
Just watching it. Sitting in the living room.
I mean, did you see it as just, wow, this is so whimsical and just, or was it, did it draw you into the story?
Well, at the time, it was really just, it was the Muppets.
Yeah, so it's
and of course, yeah, the spectacle. The framing device,
yes,
if you will.
Yes.
Because by this time, you know, the Muppets are a household name.
Oh, yeah.
You just know. You see Kermit the Frog and you know what to expect.
Yes.
You see Miss Piggy, you know what to expect. And actually seeing them two as the Cratchits was was quite exciting. But you've got this this framing device that really draws younger audiences into this classic story. And I was part of that younger audience,
right,
when it first came out.
Right.
So because
they framed the story with the Muppets, it really brought in that whole generation. Come on in.
This is your story, too. It made it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And I will say something else that made it really easy, too, was having Michael Caine. And this was
FCC's.
Oh, excuse me. Yes.
Oh, hold on.
Don't. Oh,
yeah.
FCC's very own Michael Caine.
Yes.
Help me think of the word. He pretty much demanded to play the role of Scrooge.
His stipulation in order to do the role.
Thank you.
Yes.
He pretty much demanded to play Scrooge.
Straight. What does that mean?
That means without, you know, winking at the camera, without breaking that fourth wall, without admitting that this is all
acknowledging.
I'm
with Muppets.
Yeah. The Muppets. But no, he plays Scrooge as miserly and as dastardly as any Scrooge performance I've ever seen. I would really have to sit down and watch between George C. Scott.
Yes.
Patrick Stewart and Michael Caine to see which one I liked best. I'm really a fan of Michael Caine.
Well, so am I.
And I would have to see which one of those three, or even Alastair Sim, which is a really old version, but he did well too. And of course, Albert Finney.
We were talking about how Matthew Broderick was an everyman actor. Michael Caine.
He is.
I mean, even though, you know, he's incredibly talented, but there's something affable about him, something endearing, and something that is, he's very inclusive. Come on in. I'm inviting you into this circle around me as I'm performing, and it's yours too.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I think it's just very, he's a very friendly person, even as Scrooge.
Very accessible.
Accessible, especially when he turns. When he repents, when he makes a U-turn on that road of life in this film, it's just that much more. I think really of all the adaptations that we have watched up to this point, he is the most warm, inviting, loving Ebenezer Scrooge.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Caine, only Michael Caine could pull it off the way that Michael Caine does. I mean, everybody brings their own thing, but only Michael Caine can be Michael Caine. That's why he had to play this role.
That's the thing. Actually, on the everyman note, is Scrooge really an everyman character?
Let's not get into that right now.
Well, just flesh it out, because I kind of...
No, I'm not saying the character. I'm saying the actor. Michael Caine is an everyman actor.
No, but what I'm saying is Scrooge an everyman character? Because I would say no.
Okay.
Because Scrooge is like, this is a huge jump, but this is what I'm working on in grad school. But Scrooge is kind of like Oedipus Rex.
Okay, in what way?
In how, you might ask.
Yes.
Which you just did. In that the character is constructed to almost be at a distance.
Yes.
And it takes this journey that the audience goes through in order to endear.
That's really that going to be part of my point.
To the character.
Yeah. But now, is he an everyman as in, oh, I can relate to him so well? Well, unfortunately, I can relate, but that's because I'm looking for these things.
Sure.
But I think that he is a grotesque.
Yes.
Or yes. Grotesca.
Yeah. Well, grotesque would be what you're looking
yes.
for. Yes.
Yeah. He's a grotesque caricature of these things that are in man's heart.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why God has to tell. I mean, God has to tell us these are the things to do the works of God. Mm-hmm. You have to do these things, and it always involves caring for others. He has to tell us to do that.
Yeah.
But now, do I look in reality? Do I look like Ebenezer Scrooge? Well, I certainly hope not, because he is a grotesque version. It's a cartoon version, hopefully. But so that I guess makes Scrooge not an everyman. We should be repulsed by him, but we should also, he also has a lot of reflection on him. He's like painted with a silver paint and highly polished. We should be seeing ourselves.
And that's the thing, like with just to go back to the Oedipus comparison, you may not see yourself exactly as Oedipus, but there are certain aspects to where you know you can identify with.
There are motifs.
Yeah. And let me just say, I'm not trying to get into the whole Freudian thing. We're not talking about that. What I'm talking about is the character as portrayed in the plays. He was meant to be so, quote, irredeemable.
Yes. Yes.
That when the redemption does happen, it's all that more poignant.
Yes.
That's the connection I'm trying to, I got to write that down.
Okay. You do that. As I go on to explain further that if you don't see yourself in Ebenezer Scrooge in some form or fashion, either A, your Mother Teresa, and I guarantee you that she would have just argued with me, oh no, I do see myself, or you are not cognizant, okay? You aren't looking. You aren't being aware, and that's one of the problems of Scrooge. He didn't look outside of himself.
Mm-hmm. Why would he need to? He's got all the money he could have won.
Well, we're gonna set it all up when we actually find the Christian themes in here. But first, we got some more things to talk about.
Sure.
So he did tell Brian Henson, right? I'm going to play this like there's not a Muppet in the cast. They are all seasoned professionals. And what was the director's response to that?
He said, yeah, bang on.
That's exactly what we want. That's what will make this work.
Yeah.
That's what will make it work, because it is a powerful story. It's an important story. It's not a story that you don't make fun of this story. It's that would be, I mean, tantamount to being sacrilegious or blasphemous.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's the thing, like, I mean, sure, the Muppets are, you know, half of this production, but they're not mocking the original content.
Right.
They're building it up for a younger audience.
In fact, there's one of the trivia items, and again, when you get trivia from IMDb, it's like, who put this here? Sure. There's no attribution. Where did this come from? So take it or leave it. But one of the items was that Michael Caine considers the role of Scrooge to be one of his most memorable.
Yeah.
That's to him. You know, he says, yes, one of my most memorable roles. He knows how important this story is. Mm-hmm. Now,
you said it right.
You've been talking about framing device.
Yeah.
So explain to us how the Muppets, more specifically, Rizzo and the Rat.
Rizzo the
Gonzo.
Rat.
And Gonzo, sorry.
The great flying Gonzo. Gonzo, yes. Yes.
How is that a framing device?
Well, they were put into the production as a way to... as a way to highlight Charles Dickens' original prose.
Ah.
Because Brian Henson wanted that original prose to be in there, but not... And I'm actually glad he did it this way, because there's not the unseen narrator. We actually see Gonzo and Rizzo, and they're, you know, they've got their own little shtick, which, you know, you've got... You've got Rizzo always falling off the roof.
Light the lamp, not the rat. Light the lamp, not the rat. Light the lamp.
You've just got all this, the small stuff that really help, you know, move it along. It's not, I mean, well, arguably it's not hokey. You know, some of it, you know, it's a little slapstick. I mean, that's
Muppets.
Yeah, that's Muppets. Yes. That comes with the medium.
Yes.
But like I said, I think with this production, and even with, you know, Disney producing it, it's all about trying to break into the minds of the younger audiences, like the kids.
Yes.
I was just saying kids. Trying to break into the kids' minds and say, hey, you should really think about the story now.
Yeah. Start processing this.
Yeah, now, because you'll keep processing it for your life.
And you won't exhaust it. Yeah. And another thing that narration does is, for us adults, it allows us inside the head of of Scrooge.
Sure.
I mean, this is a, remember you were talking several episodes ago about being omnipresent or.
Third person omniscient.
Yes.
Third person or first person.
Yes. And this would be what I mean, we only go into Scrooge's head, really, thanks to Charles Dickens.
Yeah. This would be, well, actually, from what I remember of reading the story, you don't really go into Scrooge's head that much because the ghosts are the ones that bring up the memories.
Well, the narration is telling us the effect.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like in real time.
Okay.
thing. So
it's been so long since I've read the book, and
I remember reading it. I read it last year for something. Because I was directing it.
That'll get you to read something.
Yeah, that'll get you. So really, I guess I would have to go back and restudy this sometime. But I think the original book would be third person limited.
Okay,
because it is very Scrooge centric.
And that also leaves room for us to experience the change, the climax, and then the catharsis, right? Would the repentance be the climax? It all leads to this, and then one theme conquers the other.
I got
to
think about
that. And then it's downhill from there. Oh, gosh.
I didn't want to do homework here, Michael.
Brother, this is a scholarly show.
I know.
All right. Last bit of trivia before we get into our discussion.
Sure.
There are... You talked about the soundtrack of Lion King and you wore that out. Did you have the soundtrack for The Muppet Christmas Carol?
Oh, I did not.
Okay. If you did, Brendan, it would have two songs that were not in the film at all. In other words, they did not film these two songs, but it's on the soundtrack.
Okay.
One would be called Room in Your Heart, and that is sung by Dr. Honeydew and Beaker as the charity workers. The other song is Chairman of the Board, sung by Sam the Eagle as Scrooge's headmaster. Both were recorded but dropped from the script before filming started to help the flow of the story.
Really?
And guess what, Brendan? We're bringing it back.
Hey.
We're going to bring back both of those songs. But first, we need to realize that this story, this version, what for me was really highlighted, and again, that's why it's so important to watch and read. Well, there's only one version to read, but the book adaptations, whether on stage or on film, you have to watch them all as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're all going to bring something to the table. Something is going to be pushed out a little bit into the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
Here, this is what's important to this production.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know what Walt Disney or, Henson Enterprises or whatever it's called, what they had in mind. But I see repentance, freedom, peace, life in that order.
Hey,
or repentance and the freedom to perform earthly good.
To be of earthly good. The streak didn't. See, Thanksgiving could not stop the streak.
No turkey could put...
No.
No amount of tryptophan could put that to bed.
Bubba, you ain't... We still got leftovers. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. Again, so much to talk about. But let's just set up. We all know the story. You've listened to our past two episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema covering A Christmas Carol. So you're familiar with the story. We're going to pick up with the Ghost of Christmas Past takes Scrooge to his old school. And you really focused on this last year, Brendan. This aspect of Fran.
Yeah.
Okay, why was Scrooge alone at school?
Because his dad didn't want him at home.
Right. What about his mom?
Wasn't she dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his dad didn't want him. So we already know that about Scrooge now. Mm-hmm. His dad didn't want him at home. Yeah. What's that bound to do to somebody? Oh, you know what it's going to do? That's bound to set somebody up for a big change in their perspective. Really? Isn't it? That is a perfect time for somebody to change their perspective about everything. So just keep that in mind, because I'm going to focus on something else. And this is what this version of A Christmas Carol brings out, pushes to the spotlight. Another incident at school, another aspect, another angle of what was going on to Scrooge at school. You know, she takes him, and of course he sees his schoolmates running about. He's like, wait a second, I went to school with these guys. Hey, and she says, these are shadows of the past.
Yeah.
They can't hear or see us. You're just seeing things that happened. And then she takes him into the school room, and this was a long segment that I felt was so important that I cut it down from like over 4 minutes to over 2 minutes long, so this is a long segment, but I want you to listen carefully to everything that takes place here as he is inside the schoolroom that he grew up in.
And what a flood of memories came back to him as Scrooge beheld his old classroom.
I know it all so well, Spirit. The desks, the smell of the chalk. I chose my profession in this room.
And is he too familiar?
Scrooge beheld a small boy, a boy he knew, oh, very well indeed.
Good heavens. It's me.
Christmas. Who cares about stupid old Christmas?
I was often alone. More time for reading and study. The Christmas holiday was a chance to get some extra work done. Time for solitude.
Let us see another Christmas in this place.
They were all very much the same. Nothing ever changed.
You changed.
The years performed their terrible dance, and in a moment, Scrooge had seen his entire childhood pass. He saw his old schoolroom age and decay.
So, Master Scrooge, graduation day. Eh, me lad?
That's my old headmaster.
Education as a foundation.
This man taught me my greatest lesson.
Stand up. Build your life as this school is built. Ah, yes. Work hard, work long, and be constructive. Oh, Ebenezer, life is a golden opportunity. Today you go forth into the real world. You must keep your nose to the grindstone. Work hard, lad. And one day, your life will be as solid as this very building. I've been meaning to fix that shelf.
Yes, Master.
Well, young man, you have been apprenticed to a fine company in London. Today, you become a man of business.
I'm looking forward to it, Headmaster.
You will love business. It is the American way.
Sam. It's just that
there's nothing. Well, it is the British way.
Okay. Now, I preface this by saying that because his dad did not want him,
yeah,
he was already, the ground was receptive to other influences.
Mm-hmm.
And what steps in and fills that fallow ground with something? Well, this again, and may I point out that I'm an excellent audio editor because that really sounded pretty flowing there. I cut, like I said, I edited together the important things out of 4.5 minutes there. What does he say to the spirit? I know it all so well, spirit. I chose my profession in this room. And he says, you know what? I was alone often at Christmas time, every time. I was often alone. But you know what? I could get some extra work done. Solitude. Oh, but you hear in his voice pain.
Yeah.
You can hear the pain. That's a tip of the hat to Michael Caine for his acting abilities. Mm-hmm. You could hear that pain. And he says, nothing ever changed. What does she say? You changed. You changed. We already know that you were damaged goods, but you changed even from that anger to your dad, mm-hmm, to something came in and filled the void. And what was that? My old headmaster. He taught me my greatest lesson.
Yeah.
And here's where we have one of the songs that didn't make it to the film. Chairman of the Board. Here's some of the lyrics of what Sam sings to young, impressionable, needy Ebenezer Scrooge. It's a golden opportunity that's knocking. And you know by now the answer's up to you, but you're ready because you have an education. So be confident. There's nothing you can't do. Stop. Inherently, there's nothing wrong with that. That whole line, that whole verse, there's nothing wrong with that. But what does he encourage Ebenezer to do with that information? You can soar above the mediocre. Soar above the rest. If you do your work with vigor, you'll be bigger than the best. Be proud of your ambitions. Being lazy is a curse. We want no empty pockets, and we want no empty purse. Work for a living. Love your work. Don't think about vacations. You can overcome that quirk. Insist on being heard. A squeaky wheel can't be ignored. If you do what's right, if you prove you're bright, you'll be chairman of the board. Think about it. Chair of the board. That's what he taught Ebenezer Scrooge. Soar above the rest. Everybody else is mediocre compared to you. You're better than them. Mm-hmm. You can work harder. Be proud. Pride. He's encouraging him to have pride in his ambitions. Being lazy is a curse. These things all shaped Ebenezer Scrooge.
Where are those bootstraps that need pulling?
Well, get your nose to the grindstone, mm-hmm. right? These are the things that you should aspire to, Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, my headmaster, he taught me my greatest lesson in this room. That was his greatest lesson. We have seen it play out up to this point in the story. Have we not? Yes. Now, I love how one of the instructions that he gives him that we hear in that sound clip. Work hard, lad, and one day your life will be as solid as this building. Crash. How is that for foreshadowing?
Yeah.
You would miss that if you were not a listener and a participant in Finding Christ in Cinema, right? That was powerful foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Now we move on and we meet the ghost of Christmas present. Come in and know me better, man. Oh, and we start off with a song, another song.
Of course.
And some of the words, you know, Christmas is the season of the heart and the summer of the soul in December. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, when you do your best for love. Oh, that's a different message than what his headmaster taught him. When you do your best. Oh, your best for love? When you do your best for love, it feels like Christmas. Oh, and the message, if we hear it, is make it last all year. What's he encouraging people? Because the ghost of Christmas present is walking around and pointing out things. What's he encouraging everybody to do? When you do your best for love, it feels like Christmas. And do your best to make this last all year. Do this always. That sounds like Jesus to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I talked about last year. All right. So then Scrooge says, Spirit, I had no idea. He got caught up in the song. I had no idea. I want to see family. Show me kin. Oh, and then he takes him in and we have the whole scene with Fred and his wife. Oh, that hurt. That hurt Scrooge.
Yeah.
That powerful scene. But then all of a sudden, here they are. On the street, this cobblestone street in Scrooge's spirit. What, you know, why are we in this corner of the town? Oh, well, Christmas is here too, says the spirit. He says, well, there's Bob Cratchit's house. And here comes the wake-up call.
Yeah.
The wake-up call is there are others, Scrooge. There are others, people outside of you. Can you see them? Can you see that your cold indifference, even your open contempt, reaches into space? Your indifference, your contempt for people isn't inside of you. It reaches out. It expands and takes up space. It affects lives. Do you know anything at all about Bob Cratchit? The man and his family? Scrooge, do you know anything? Other than he is an employee of yours. See, in fact, Scrooge says, this is Bob Cratchit, or Scrooge says, this is Bob Cratchit's house? Spirit says, how did you know that? You just told me. Oh. How did you know this is Bob Cratchit's house? Well, because you just told me. How long has he been working for you? Wow. So Scrooge witnesses Bob Cratchit and Tiny Tim on their way back from church, and they're singing praises to God mm-hmm. as they're walking down that little cobblestone road. And in doing so, they're witnessing to Scrooge. They don't know it. They don't know that he's there watching this.
Yeah.
They are praising God because that's the kind of people they are.
Yeah. That's the only reason why Tiny Tim, well, not the only reason, but that's a huge reason why Tiny Tim likes to go to church is because he thinks people will be comforted
and praise God.
Well, by reminding them, you know, why this season is celebrated.
Yeah.
Who it was on Christmas who made the lame beggars walk
yeah.
and the blind men see.
Yeah.
Tiny Tim's that lame child.
Yeah.
Is Scrooge that blind man?
He sees in this scene inside the house, and then he says, a remarkable child. That's a remarkable child yeah. right there. And such a meager feast. It's not fitting for a child like that and his family. That's a meager feast. Spirit says, but very much appreciated. Oh, they appreciate that meager feast.
Yeah.
They appreciate their little family. Oh, boy. And then he hears, well, Scrooge says, but I pay Bob such a small amount. It's breaking in.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking in a big way. And then he hears Bob say, it only seems right that I lift a glass to my employer, to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of the feast, but Emily Cratchit, indeed!
Founder of the feast, indeed!
If he were here, I'd give him a piece of my mind and wants to go in, but here it comes, but...
And he'd have indigestion for a week!
But Bob stops her, my dear, the children, Christmas.
Christmas Day.
And Tiny Tim jumps in. To the founder of the feast, Mr. Scrooge! God bless us, everyone. And he starts in on a song again. And says things like, life is full of sweet surprises. Every day's a gift, Tiny Tim is singing. Says, bless us with playful years. We reach for you and we stand tall. And in our prayers and dreams, we ask you, bless us all. Oh, praying and praising God. But this song takes its toll on Tiny Tim. It's too much for him to sing. And
let's all take our seats now. Let's have dinner.
Spirit?
Peter?
Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
That is the future. My realm is the present. However... I see a vacant seat by the chimney corner and a crutch without an owner. If these shadows remain unaltered, I believe the child will die. But what then? If he's going to die, he'd better do it and decrease the surplus population.
Oh, Spirit.
As the Cratchit family vanished into the darkness, Scrooge kept his eyes upon Tiny Tim until the last...
Scrooge keeps his eyes on Tiny Tim until the last, until he can't see anymore, doesn't know what's going to happen, but he gets some bad news from the Ghost of Christmas Present.
Mm-hmm.
If it continues the way that it is, he's going to die. Oh, boy. That ray of sunshine, though, we see the effect. We see that Scrooge is starting to understand, you know what, my old headmaster, he may not have been... so right. Because now things, I can see that my actions affect others. And this remarkable child and their meager feast, and I don't really pay Bob that much. And then he meets up with the spirit he dreads the most.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
That's the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come.
Ah. take it.
Oh, okay. Oh, that was it. Oh, man. Well, he's taken on this little journey, as he has been with the Ghost of Christmas Past and present. He's taken on yet another journey. This is what will happen. He sees, is it old Fozziwig, and he sees them again, right? I must admit, I watched this movie a week ago.
And I must admit that though I watched it all the way through twice, this scene with Tiny Tim affected me so much that I didn't really pay too much attention to anything afterwards.
Oh, well, there you go. But he sees these people, you know, selling his old things, and then he drops back by the Cratchit's house. Tiny Tim's not there.
That seat is empty.
That empty crutch.
Yeah.
Or that empty crutch. That crutch without an owner. Yeah, is there. Yeah. And then finally he's taken to this gravestone. He clears away the ice, and the whole time he's pleading with the Ghost of Christmas yet to come. You know, if these shadows remain unchanged, then, or if these shadows do change, then I can erase the carving from the stone. It's very, very thundering presence of that spirit.
He comes to presence of mind.
Yeah.
Wait a second. This is my crossroads.
Yeah. And then finally he wakes up.
Yeah. Oh.
He wakes up clutching the curtains. The bed sheets were his own. The bed was his own. The room was his own.
Listen.
All heaven in the Christmas time be praised for this day. I say it on my knees, Jacob and Robert. On my knees. Oh, they're not torn down. They're here. And I'm here. More's a miracle. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy.
Do you think it's safe for us to be up here?
Scrooge is saved. What can happen now?
Yeah.
You there, boy.
What, me? What, me, sir?
What's today?
Pardon?
What's today, my fine fellow?
Today? Well, today is Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. The spirits did it all in one night. They can do anything they like. Of course they can. Of course they can.
Of course they can.
Do you know the poultry shop in the next street?
Yes, sir, I do.
An intelligent lad. A remarkable lad. Do you know whether the prize turkey has been sold in the window?
Oh, the one twice as big as me? It's still there?
Oh, it's a pleasure talking with you, lad. Go and buy it.
Be serious.
I am being serious. Buy it for me and I'll give you a shilling.
Oh.
No, I'll give you 5 shillings.
What? Wow!
And so the boy was off like a shot. So even...
Sorry.
I'll bring it to Bob Cratchit's house. What a surprise it'll be. It's twice the size of Tiny Tim.
Okay, 3 words. Scrooge is saved. Thank you, writers and directors, for putting that line in there. Because at that crossroads,
yeah,
he said, I'm going in that direction, I'm turning around and going in the opposite direction. Yeah. Scrooge is saved. And then we immediately see
the effects,
the fruits
of that salvation.
Yes. What does he do?
Well, the first thing he does, he throws open the windows. He yells at this little kid on the street, and he tells him to go buy that prize turkey. Who's he buying it
for? Only the best.
Only
the best.
Twice
for me.
Twice the size as Tiny Tim.
Who's he thinking about?
He's thinking about Tiny Tim.
What does he do for that young boy on the street?
Well, he gives him money for the turkey, and he gives him the money to do it, for doing it.
And
him.
What a delightful boy, you know, and
a delightful boy. Remarkable. Well,
I mean, so he is in the throes of a heavy-duty, hardcore, unmistakable repentance. Scrooge is saved. We immediately see what happens. The first result is joy.
Mm-hmm.
The second result is, what can I do for Tiny Tim?
Yeah.
Third result is, here's some money to go and do it. Wait, that's not enough. That's not enough. Which ties into one of your sound clips because he has been so miserly for so many years, thanks to that greatest lesson that he learned from his headmaster, that he is in great debt. He's in debt. He has a great many.
But Michael, he's rich. How could he be in debt?
Oh, because he's held back for so long. So what do we see after that scene? Take us along.
We see, and this is my main thing with the song "A Thankful Heart,"
yeah,
which we've already just now been introduced to the melody of.
Yeah,
it is a catchy melody, and I apologize. It has been stuck in my head all this week.
It should be,
but I'm thankful for it because it's.
Do you have a thankful heart that it's been stuck in your head all week?
Yes, and it's nice to have.
Yeah,
because sometimes it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget to be thankful, to begin each day with a grateful prayer and a thankful heart. We see Honeydew and Beaker come back.
Yeah. Oh, and who are they, real quick?
Oh, they're the
charity workers.
The charity workers. They have names. I forgot their names, but in the story.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh no. In the original.
Right. Sorry.
In the original Charles Dickens story, yes. They have names. I forgot them. But Honeydew and Beaker come back. And Scrooge immediately sees them, and he rushes over to them.
Yeah,
he says, "Look, guys, I'm sorry for yesterday. I apologize, and I'd like to make it up to you by donating." And he whispers in their ear,
"Mr. Scrooge,
pardon me, gentlemen, but about the charity donation you asked me for yesterday, put me down for
that much?
Not a penny less." A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what to say. I just wish there was something we could give you.
A gift? A gift for me? Thank you. Thank you. 50 times, and a Merry Christmas.
Here's your turkey, Mr. Scrooge.
Follow me, lad.
Follow me, lad. I love that a great many back payments are owed,
yeah.
I assure you.
Yeah.
That's why he gave that boy that much, a lot of money to do this, because it's so important that I get the best, only the best for Tiny Tim and for his family. It reminds me a lot of Malachi. We talked about some of these passages in Malachi back when we discussed The Witch during Octoberween.
Why did you have to bring that up?
Because it's a great way to remind people that if you haven't listened to us talk about The Witch back during Octoberween, to go back and do that, because Malachi, God has this ongoing conversation. Well, it's really one-sided, because he's saying, here's what your answer is and your response. And here's just one of them. Starting in verse 8 of chapter 3, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Should a people cheat God? I'm doing this out of the New Living Translation, because the way they translate this and word it is absolutely powerful. Should a people cheat God? God says, yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great, you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test.
All right.
Scrooge hears that.
Yeah.
And now he's got a great many tithes and offerings that he has neglected for his entire life. And they're going out. And God blesses him in return. That's what that scene reminded me of. Okay. So carry on.
Well, I just want to make a quick note before we get on to the song, which was just about to start before the clip ended.
We were rearing up for it.
Yeah, that's right. We're the vamp.
Yes.
It's just interesting to me the way Michael Caine performs Scrooge at this particular moment. And I think what draws me to it is the idea that Scrooge is so used to nothing being free.
Yes.
To everything being free. Or to everything having a cost, rather.
Yes.
Nothing is free. Everything has a cost. For every monetary exchange, there's an equal and opposite exchange from the other end. This is how a miser thinks.
That's why a businessman thinks.
That's how a business. Well, for someone who doesn't want to lose money,
right? Well, hey, you got to be a good steward of what God has given you, right?
Buddy. Now, it's very interesting to see how Scrooge responds to a gift.
Yeah.
To a free gift. That scarf that Beaker pulls off and gives him.
A gift by its very definition is free.
Yeah. And that's the
nothing
thing.
Nothing expected.
If you have to pay for something, it's not a gift.
In any way.
Yeah. It's not a gift. It's given. And to see that, I don't want to say that was the final ticket in Scrooge's, I'm not going to say the final nail in his coffin, but you know, the reverse, the happy version of that. That was the final little push over into receiving a free gift for himself. Because even when he's in the clip talking to the charity workers, to Honeydew and Beaker, he still feels that obligatory, you know, mini back payments, even though now it's from a repented heart.
Yeah. But he's already seen God is pouring out a blessing so great he won't have room to take that in. It's not even that scarf. It's that man was giving him something with nothing expected in return. It was merely thanks.
Mm-hmm. And this is what kicks him into this new song. And now patron Saint Philip, we all know, does not care for musicals. But Philip, listen to the lyrics of this song. And tell me if this doesn't express Scrooge's new heart as poignantly as it ever could.
With a thankful heart, with an endless joy, with a growing family, every girl and boy will be nephew and niece to me.
Nephew and niece to me.
Will bring love, hope, and peace to me.
Love, hope, and peace to me.
Yes, and every night will end, and every day will start with a grateful prayer and a thankful heart.
It just warms you up.
Yes.
It just warms you up. He's putting into effect this fruit. He's affecting this fruit of this new life that he's been given.
Oh.
See, I should have made that my key text. This is the act of giving.
Everything has changed.
But he's been given this
All
new
things
heart.
Are new.
Yeah, hey. He's been given this new heart.
Yeah.
And it's
a thankful heart.
It is.
And we know from
heart.
The VeggieTales that a thankful heart is a happy heart. A thankful heart is a happy... Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember that one.
Oh, goodness.
Sorry.
I hope Phil Vischer isn't listening.
I just listened to Larry Boy. Oh, where is my hairbrush?
Oh, where?
Anyway.
Where? Is my hairbrush?
Thank you. Through the lyrics of this song, we hear and we feel and we resonate with this new heart.
Yes.
And this is why I chose this song, because all the other versions, or at least the ones that we've seen so far, don't really go into this expression, this creative explosion.
Right.
That's
a psalm.
It really is. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you said psalm.
Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
I'm so glad you went there.
Oh.
Let's. I got the lyrics to the next verse. I'll just read off real quick. With an open smile and with open doors, I'll greet you welcome, and what's mine is yours. With a raised glass to toast your health and a promise to share the wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just talking about the aforementioned irredeemability of Scrooge, to hear him say that has to shake you.
Yes.
That's the power of the story. I will sail a friendly course, file a friendly chart on the sea of love and a thankful heart. Oh, man. And then we get to this last verse, right?
With a thankful heart that is wide awake, I do make this promise every breath I take will be used now to sing your praise.
Used now to sing your praise.
And to beg you to share my day.
Beg you to share my day.
With a loving guarantee that even if we part, I will hold you close in a thankful heart. I will hold you close in a thankful heart.
Sorry, I love it.
I know.
I will hold you close. He will finally now consider the other. He's, like you've already said, Michael, he's not focusing on himself anymore. He's not being manipulated by that mindset of greed and pride and ambition.
You're better than everybody else.
You can rise above the mediocre. Yes. You don't have to settle.
Yep.
You don't have to settle. It makes me feel good just to watch this movie.
Yes.
And this song does it for me.
Yeah.
And just quick key text when you're sitting on your, you know, that thing you said.
Double-decker couch.
You're sitting on your double-decker couch. This brings me back to Psalm 51. We've used it before.
Oh, well.
I mean, but it's just so fitting right now. Psalm 51, verse 10. Create in me a new heart and renew a right spirit within me.
Yeah.
And that's
perfect.
I mean, it's perfect for a musical, definitely. Yes. But especially poignant for this story and this moment.
Amen.
Where we see Scrooge expressing his love for his neighbor now.
A hardcore repentance. It reminds me of the Ethiopian eunuch when Philip was snatched away after leading him to knowledge of the Messiah, and then they go down together and baptize the eunuch into Christ, and immediately Philip snatched away. What does the eunuch do? Goes on his way rejoicing with a thankful heart. Oh.
He was singing the song.
Hey, but another song, Brandon, well, the song that Honeydew and Beaker sung on the soundtrack.
It looks like a honeydew melon.
On the soundtrack only. It didn't make it to the movie, but they sang this song. Anyone can change, Scrooge, and so can you. When you're ready to start, there's room in your heart for love. Anyone can grow, Scrooge, and you can too. When you're doing your part, there's room in your heart for love. If you want to live, give freely, and you will find that what you get in trade, my friend, is peace of mind. If you're ready to walk in the sunshine, then open up your heart. Well, open up your pocketbook. It's the perfect place to start. And it goes on from there. That ties into that Malachi passage that I read, but it also ties into Isaiah chapter 33, verses 15 through 17 out of the New Revised Standard Version, the NRSV. Those who walk righteously and speak uprightly, who despise the gain of oppression, who wave away a bribe instead of accepting it, who stop their ears from hearing of bloodshed and shut their eyes from looking on evil, they will live on the heights. Their refuge will be the fortress of rocks. Their food will be supplied, their water assured. Your eyes will see the king in his beauty. They will behold a land that stretches far away. Oh, but backing up a little bit in Isaiah, in the same passage, talking about good things to come, promises made to Israel and those who are righteous before God. Isaiah chapter 32, verses 17 through 18 out of the KEB, the Common English Bible.
Hey.
The fruit of righteousness will be peace. Oh, that's what they said in their song. What you get in trade, my friend, is peace of mind. The fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the outcome of righteousness, calm and security forever. Then my people will live in a peaceful dwelling, in secure homes, in carefree resting places. And these are what Paul drew on when he was talking to the Galatians. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desire of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow by the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Wow. Mm. A picture of Scrooge before and after. Here's your key text from my end. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, but out of the Amplified Version. Remember, friends, the Amplified Version expands the text. Now, they put it in brackets and parentheses so as not to offend anybody. You don't have to read these things, but what they're doing is trying to help you understand what the original hearers heard. Mm-hmm. So check this out. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25.
Which version are you reading?
The 2015 Amplified Version.
Okay.
If we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage. Our conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit.
That was amplified.
That was epic. This was an epic version of A Christmas Carol.
Yeah.
The Muppet Christmas Carol is epic, beautiful, profound, and you talk about amplified, they expanded with those beautiful songs, didn't they?
Yeah.
That really speaks to our hearts to really help us understand what's going on inside of Ebenezer Scrooge, and it's powerful. So Brendan, questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
No.
Nothing? Mm-hmm. You think we got it?
We got the bulk of the show in under an hour.
Yeah! How about some feedback?
Oh, this is where we run into our problem.
Oh! Yeah? Who is it? It's
who goes there? It is I!
Doug is the opposite of friendly. He's unfriendly.
It's not Doug. Patron Saint Philip is going to take us down to King Philip's Stables of Doom. He left a comment. Where was that? Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 119 for The Lion King.
He says, hey guys, so the Lion King episode has finally happened. I'm in the same boat as Michael.
Continue.
As many times as my youngest sister and oldest son watched The Lion King, I don't think I've ever seen the entire film start to finish. I have a barrier when it comes to musicals.
Well, yes, we know that. He has made that abundantly clear to us.
And the only real Disney musical I'm a fan of is Robin Hood.
That's one of my very favorite Disney movies.
Hey.
Oh, you talk about growing up with this film and The Lion King. Mm-hmm. I grew up with Robin Hood. Oh.
Okay.
Robin Hood and Little John are one of the Roger Miller or whatever sing. Oodle lolly, golly, what a day. Okay, go on.
Yay. But this all got me thinking of, well, now, wait a minute. Gratitude.
Oh, wow. He got gratitude out of The Lion King. How did he do that?
And how thankful I am that there are so many animated movies to enjoy with my family now. You can actually go back to anime, which for a long time has used the medium of animation to tell story for all ages. John Lasseter, CCO of Pixar Animation Studios.
Chief Creative Officer.
Yeah, I was about to ask what that meant. Walt Disney Animation Studios and Disney Toon Studios.
I put that in there.
You did put that in there. Well, thank you. Is a huge Miyazaki. Miyazaki, thank you.
Hi.
Is a huge Miyazaki fan, and much of Pixar's work has been influenced by him. The Pixar revolution in the West has changed how animated films are created and perceived.
Amen.
And now families are spending more time together, taking in stories that everyone can appreciate on their own level. So the main thing I get on from The Lion King is how grateful I am that there is more variety in animated films now than ever before.
That's what he got from The Lion King.
That's
gratefulness.
That's a That's a backhanded comment. And Philip, love you, buddy.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to the Christmas episodes. Love the show, guys. Hashtag,
but we like Gimlet. Well, and we hope that he enjoyed the very first of our Christmas episodes, revisiting A Christmas Carol.
It's another musical. Right? He'll probably hate it.
Okay, so Philip really wasn't on your team.
He'll be thankful that there are other films that he can watch. Yeah,
he'll be thankful that there are movies with no music in them. No singing. That's what he got from The Muppet Christmas Carol. But Brendan, he wasn't really on your team as far as The Lion King goes, but let's see if we can go to the it's gonna be where are we going? Potatoes Red Oak Treehouse. Once again, friends, that's Potatoes Red Oak Treehouse of Doom.
Come on, will you cut it out?
Sorry.
I like
doing that. Okay. He sent us in an email via fcc@gctnetwork.com. Says, greetings and felicitations, brethren. This is a long email. I'm going to blast through this as quickly as I can. I was utterly flabbergasted to hear you finally doing The Lion King. Well, so see there, he's happy too. Brendan and the kids from 1994 happy. However, I must admit something.
Oh.
Where's our suspenseful music?
We don't have any yet.
I was not a huge fan of it, at least until I heard your podcast. Hey! I sent the movie to you not because I wanted to hear it so badly, but because I could sense Brendan's desire to take on the movie. See? That's brotherly love.
Hey.
I also sensed your reluctance, Michael, to view the movie and noted all the roadblocks you threw out there in an effort to make it a non-event. Did I really? Did I ever put up any kind of roadblocks?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes, you did.
Ron continues. I'm sorry. Potatoes continues.
See, I think when we brought the disc to you that night,
yeah,
I think you could have.
I tried. I tried.
Michael.
No, let's not. Okay, Ron continues. I'm sorry. Potatoes continues. Being the dastardly person I am, I saw the opportunity to have some fun and removed some obstacles so that Brendan could finally have his heart's desire.
Woo, thank you.
In my defense, I was at home recovering from shoulder surgery. That's hard to say. Say that 10 times real fast.
Shoulder surgery.
Hopped up on all kinds of drugs. And no, he didn't say that. And I needed the distraction.
Interjection.
He was loopy. Anyway, now back to the Savannah. I appreciated your insights into Scar and how he is the accuser and really is just like our adversary, the devil. The beautiful picture of the father in Mufasa, especially when he is training/admonishing his son, points me to the relationship we have with the father. When we deliberately choose to go against God because of peer pressure, convenience, or stubborn desire for our own way, it is sin, and sin always has a price tag attached to it. Did Simba's sin result in Mufasa's death? Was Mufasa's death avoidable? One thing that is sure is that Mufasa loved his son. Christ loves us and went to the mat for us, giving all he had, holding nothing back. And though our sin cost him all, he loved us still and was obedient to the Father even unto death. It is interesting that Christ is more interested in the salvation of the lost than the condemnation of the sinner. Brother,
this is why we need Ron.
That is a wise, wise man right there. That preaches.
Yeah.
That sentence alone. Okay, continuing. Something I saw in Casablanca. Guys, this is just some small tidbit, but I wanted to piggyback on something you were saying. Hey. Bogart's character, Rick, is the, quote, man on the inside, unquote. And all throughout history, God has had his people in the right place at the right time to do his will. And it is often the work of mercy and helping. I tried to come up with a list of all the times God has used the inside man to work his will. My list is quite incomplete, but here's a list of other Ricks in the Bible I thought of in no particular order. Rahab in Jericho. Oh, I was just reading that account the other day. So there's we got Hive Mind with Ron Potatoes. She was literally inside the walls. She hid the Israelite spies. Mm-hmm. Oh, also, sidebar or interjection, she is in the lineage of Jesus. She's an ancestor of Jesus. Oh, also, she lied in order to save those people. So there's a whole lesson on there. I grew up in church saying, lying is a sin. You could go to hell for lying. Really? Really? There's a lot. Okay, but I won't get into that. And she's in the Hall of Faith. Right?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 11. Uh-huh. Okay, next up, Joseph, after enduring many... Oh, another person who lied. Okay. After enduring many slights and mistreatment, he was still God's man in charge of Egypt, and through him, all of Israel was saved. Daniel, a servant to Nebuchadnezzar, intervened for the other magi when they were all about to be put to the sword and was a trusted advisor to Darius as well. Nehemiah was an advocate to Darius and Cyrus to help rebuild Israel. Esther, she also deceived. She was God's woman and wife to Xerxes, and by her intervention saved all the Hebrews in the kingdom from harsh persecution. How about death? Saved them from death. That's my own interjection there. By Haman. And that's just the start. It's good to know that God has us where we are so we can serve him in the home, the highway, and the highest offices. Next up, going back to A Knight's Tale. Yes, I loved it. And yes, it was a great example of what our salvation is like when the Son of the Most High, Prince Edward, declares you a noble, forgiven. You are a knight indeed. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. No, we cannot change our stars or our destiny. And I'll just interject in our relationship to God, our salvation. We cannot affect our own salvation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, yes.
And that's what Ron meant. But Christ could and has made the way for us to be of noble birth. And now, as nobility, we may enter the lists such and seek to win rewards as we joust with the principalities and powers in high places. And last bit here, which I just scrolled away from for some reason, and I can't get back. Brendan, do you have that pulled up? You read the last bit?
He says, concluding, as I listen to C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, as performed by Andy Serkis.
Oh, hey. What?
Yeah.
That exists?
That does exist.
Oh, my goodness.
I note how Adhemar is much like the depiction of Satan in the book.
Yes.
Continually mocking God's choice to save us and calling us unworthy.
Mm.
It's wonderful to know that we have been made worthy by the blood.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
Those are great thoughts, great addendums, afterthoughts by our dear patron saint.
Can we get him?
Potatoes.
Let's get him on the show.
He is. He just was. He just got like 10 minutes.
In this studio.
Oh, well, he's down in Georgia. That's how you have to say it.
Georgia?
Yeah, it's not Georgia. Georgia.
Oh.
He's down in Georgia on the Poteet farm, hanging out in Ron's Red Oak Treehouse of Dev... of Doom. Ron Potatoes. Yes. I love it.
It's a trap!
Ron's Red Oak Treehouse of Doom is a trap!
Get out of there.
Thank you so much, Ron, for all that feedback. And we always look forward to your wisdom and tying everything together for us. Hey, Brendan, we got a voicemail via our SpeakPipe page.
See, I wish you would have let me.
No, I saved this. It's anonymous. We have no idea to who to credit this to, but I cannot tell you how thankful I am for this voicemail. You ready?
Yeah.
Bling, blow, ooh, chain on skateboard, Pete.
Yeah! Did you get anything out of that?
Wait, do it again?
Bling, blow, ooh, chain on skateboard, Pete.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
What, you didn't get it?
No.
Bling, blow, ooh, chain on skateboard, Pete.
Come on, will you cut it out?
Bling, blow.
Bling, blow, ooh, chain on skateboard, Pete.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
Oh, I see. Pretty good.
I'm sorry, I don't get it.
Anyway, whoever called in and left that, thank you so much. That is going in the permanent cart. That is, I love it. Okay.
Bling blow, ooh, chain on skateboard Pete.
Chano skateboard Pete.
Yeah.
Who?
I don't know. But it almost sounds like my old buddy Tyler. But I don't know who it is.
Bling blow, ooh, chain on skateboard Pete.
Oh, so you really don't know who it is?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Anonymous.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
So, okay.
In fact, not only do I not know who it is.
He's invisible. That's what's the matter with him.
Oh.
So there you go. That was our feedback for this episode of Finding Christ. Hey, we didn't throw out our challenge to the listeners. What Christian themes did you find in the Muppet Christmas Carol? It's jam-packed, chock full of them. Moving on, Minerva, why don't you lead us?
Well-mannered frivolity.
How appropriate.
Brendan, Fantastic Beasts.
And
Where to Find Them. Did you see it?
I did.
Oh.
Did you see it?
Oh, I did. We went up to the borough up there on Kaysen Lane.
Yeah.
Just in Kaysen Lane.
To the Carmike.
Carmike. Oh, man.
Oh, going to the Carmike 16.
Okay. So where'd you see it?
At the Capri.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They had it in Shovel.
Yeah.
Shovel, Tennessee.
Sure enough.
Shovel. All right.
Good old Shovel.
I loved it.
Yes.
I cannot wait till we discuss this movie on Finding Christ in Cinema. However, there's a caveat. The first act, I didn't think that I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was worried that I was going to not love this movie. Do you have any idea what I'm talking about? Can you relate?
I can relate. My idea was, because I felt that distance.
And it didn't pull you in, did it?
I'm not pulled in like I should be.
Yeah.
And then
I'm not invested.
I went to, you know, seeing if there was anything.
Yes.
I was checking myself before I went to wrecking myself.
Yeah, exactly. You know what's wrong with me?
You know, like, what am I?
Yeah.
And I thought.
Do I not feel well today? Am I tired?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, there's not a fever.
No, not a fever.
No. I thought it was because I was.
No, I have my mints, my junior mints.
And
my Dr.
Junior
Pepper.
Mints is very refreshing. It's chocolate, it's peppermint, it's delicious.
Okay.
See, that's a Seinfeld joke that you would have no idea about.
I don't, but I like it when you tell it better.
Oh, thank you. What were we talking about?
The
first act. I got to the conclusion where I was expecting one thing when the movie was not necessarily...
Was providing another.
Yeah, was providing another.
Yes.
I was expecting, like, a really dedicated biopic to...
Yes.
To Newt Scamander. To seeing him, but...
Who is he? Where'd he come from? What's the deal?
Yeah, and that's just based on the preconceived notion that I had gathered...
Because that's what we got with Harry Potter.
From the trailer, yeah. We were focused on one... Yeah. Hey, I didn't even think about that, yeah.
We knew all about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
We know nothing about Newt Scamander.
It's almost like we were thrust into the middle of...
Action.
Newt Scamander's own personal journey.
Yeah, he's already in the middle of an adventure.
Yeah, well, he's already in the middle of his own personal growth as a person. He's already... We saw... Because later on, we saw that picture of the girl. We don't know who she is.
Right.
That's to come later. See, there. Once it got to a certain point, once it got into the second act of the film.
Oh, and she is an ancestor of Bellatrix. Mm,
yeah, she is a little strange.
Yes.
Yeah. And that scene, I think actually that might have been the clicking moment for me, because then I realized, okay.
Now you got pulled in.
I need to. Well, I pulled in as in I stepped back and said, okay, there are going to be things in this movie that I know will not be explained until another film. So I just really need to keep back and then enjoy this film for what it is.
Yes.
And once I had that moment, once it bridged into the second act, that's when I could really enjoy
it. So for me, it just felt awkward for all the reasons that you were saying. The first act, the first third of the film was awkward because there's like intense things going on. It's like, wait, I don't know these people. Why are they being intense?
It was very intimate, very, very quickly.
Yes. But we were outsiders, not. And so that was awkward.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I felt like. But then when we get to the leading lady's apartment, and we meet her sister, who's a flapper. You know, this takes place in the 1920s, America, New York, and she's a roaring 20s, you know, all in. She's all in. The lingo, everything. Uh-huh. And she did a fantastic job portraying that, the actress herself. Then I started to go, oh, wait a second. This is very intriguing to me. And now you have her, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, sorry, we should have hit this, you know, minutes ago. But then she's drawn into this nomad. She's attracted to this muggle. Mm-hmm. And so, oh, this is very interesting. And it was, I love the whimsy of her, you know, making the apple tart and everything's done by magic. And seeing that through the nomad's eyes. I can't remember his name right now. Sorry. But then, you know, okay, this is great. But then when Newt takes him down into his briefcase, his case, and it, there's a whole world in there. That's when I thought, so now there's something bigger going on that I can relate to. Mm-hmm. And so that's when it pulled me into the movie. So the second two acts, the second two thirds of the film were so spectacular to me that in hindsight, now I can like the first third of the film. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to go back and watch that again so that I could take it all, you know, knowing what I know now.
Sure.
And taking it all in.
Kowalski.
Okay, there we go. Kowalski, yes. Oh, man, what a great character. What was the sister's name?
Hold on. Porpentina was the main girl, but I think Mary Lou.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing.
Well, see, and I was so overwhelmed with the... See, I just love the... I love when things are bigger on the inside than they are on the outside. That's why I love Doctor Who. I love the TARDIS.
Sure.
That's why, going back to the Muppets, I can remember as a wee lad, see, the Muppets, Sesame Street is as old as I am. It started the same year that I was born, and so I grew up with that. I can remember as a little kid the first time that, and it's probably one of the only times, that they took you down into Oscar's trash can.
Really?
Yes.
They did that?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And it's huge. It's an apartment down there.
Okay.
And I love that kind of stuff. So then
you probably liked like I Dream of Jeannie too.
Oh yes,
going to the bottle.
Of course.
Okay.
Anything that's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside, I'm all in.
Okay.
I'm all in, baby. So
that Twilight Zone episode, rolling under the bed, you're in the fifth dimension.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, now you know a little bit more about me. But when it comes down to, I give it two thumbs up. I know Brendan doesn't like to relate to rank things, but I will rank it for him as well. He gives it two thumbs up, and we're looking forward to.
I will say another thing that threw me off.
Yeah,
was I was actually hoping to be introduced to some of the Fantastic Beasts as well.
Yeah,
but there was really no introduction. They were just
there. Yeah,
and it was kind of hard to latch on to any sentiment. But again, that goes into what is this movie really here for?
But see, that also tells us a lot about Newt. Just the fact that we didn't really get to know a whole lot about these Fantastic Beasts. It taught us more about Newt Scamander, I believe. And especially when you get the revelations of him, you know, that personal talk with Kowalski, and he says, "People like you. I was watching you at dinner, you know."
Yeah.
People like you. Oh, well, thanks. You know, people like you too. No, they don't. I annoy them.
Yeah.
That we learned a lot.
Yeah.
About Newt Scamander there. I think this is going to be a fantastic series.
Oh, yeah.
And especially the big reveal in it. There's going to be some tie-ins with the Harry Potter timeline, which Harry Potter takes place in the 80s. So this is
80s
to the
90s. Late 80s. Well, I think Battle of Hogwarts was in 92, right?
It may have been.
I think so.
Yeah.
Either 92 or 94. Oh, wait.
We just celebrated the anniversary of it.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. A
couple of months ago. Okay. Brendan's going to look that up. But again, I already know what I want to talk about when we covered on Finding Christ in Cinema. So if you've seen it and you have a different impression, you know, let us know. Email us.
Okay. So the Battle of Hogwarts was in 98.
Okay.
So then that means Harry first went to Hogwarts 90.
No. Oh, yeah.
No.
91.
91.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Well, yeah, there you go.
So there you go. 60 years.
Yeah.
60, 70 years. Mm-hmm. Almost 70 years, right? Wow. And then we Okay, anyway, we don't want to get away too much. Ah, it's so nice. Hey, Brendan, we had a big tornado coming through Middle Tennessee last week.
And, you know, driving through Tullahoma today was kind of offsetting.
Really? Yeah, they did. They got that's where it touched down. That tornado touched down up there. That's the southwest corner of Coffee County, and I'm smack dab in the center of Coffee County. And so we were getting warnings that hey, you know, it's coming here. It's right on the 50, spotted on the 55. It's coming right through Manchester, and so we were all huddled up in an interior hallway here in our house. We're you know, blessed with an interior hallway that we can close doors to almost seal the thing in. There was a wide open spot at the end going into the hallway, but I stationed myself there because obviously if somebody's going to get snuffed, sure, you know, it's gonna be dad, the oldest.
Yeah.
So anyway, but you know, it passed through, and we weren't damaged, but did post a picture on Facebook, and our friend
I saw that, our friend
John Wilkerson from strugglingforpurpose.com and Tim the podcast.
Does he have a new episode out yet?
He's doing Advent episodes, and did another one the other day. I'm very thankful that he's turning up the heat on 10 the podcast. So hey, everybody, if you have not subscribed to John Wilkerson's 10 the podcast, get over to strugglingforpurpose.com and you can find out the information over there. Or just search for 10 the podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, wherever finer podcasts are served. Any well mannered frivolity on your end? Boy, this episode is long.
It is, I know it. Well, so just closing out the semester, that's partly why I brought up Oedipus. Because I've got Oedipus on the brain right now.
There you go. Oedipus on the Rex.
I've been, yeah, thank you. I'll use that.
Or Oedipus on the Reeks.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah.
Just studying him, setting up this final project, getting things ready for the internship next semester, then the thesis over the summer.
Oh, goodness.
So finishing all that up.
Keep bringing in your prayers.
But in the midst of all that.
Yes.
Lost.
Oh, a Lost update.
Season 3.
We need a theme. We need a stinger for this.
I can.
No, I can do it.
The theme of after every episode.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yep.
Dun, 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 dun.
The Lost update.
Oh, man. Season 3.
Okay.
Jack's father.
What about him?
Shows up everywhere.
What?
He, Mike, I don't know if you knew this or not.
Huh.
But he is also Claire's father.
What? You can knock me over with a feather,
man.
Wow.
And then there's the Russian guy with the eye patch.
He's like he never slows down.
Hmm.
He's Russian.
Oh, he's rushing around.
Slow down.
Just rushing around.
You're Russian.
And Desmond. Desmond
Tutu.
No, Desmond.
Oh, Decker.
Desmond Hume.
Yeah. Where have I heard that name before?
I don't know. Same place.
See you in another life, brother.
So, oh goodness. The episode where he's doing his time travel bit. See, that's why you really like the shows. Going back and forth between
and
time
there's lines. A hatch
or was. Oh man,
were
man.
Oh, season Brendan. Three, okay, so how far through season three are you?
I'm about halfway through.
So far up to two and a half seasons. What's your favorite thing so far,
man? I don't want to give you that answer because I'm going to regret it.
Why?
Because I want to change it.
No, you can change it. I'll ask you next week.
Okay.
So this week, what is your favorite thing so far in 2.5 seasons?
Oh, man. I don't
know. If you point to one thing and just say, you know what? That was awesome.
But that's the thing.
I love that.
I'm still enchanted by John Locke.
Okay.
And then seeing how he's moved along, not as on the island, but in his flashback scenes, thank you, or at episodes dedicated to his backstory or whatever, just seeing him, how he's progressed, especially with that whole ordeal with his father. A lot of daddy issues in the show, come to mention it. A lot of daddy issues. Then again, that's a universal theme.
What's the worst thing that's happened between he and his dad?
He took his kidney and then left him and then faked his own death.
I wonder if anything worse than that could happen.
I'm sure it could.
We'll see.
I'm sure, yeah, Michael. I'm sure.
We'll see.
But then
I'm just thinking out loud, wondering.
But then what I've really become invested, and I didn't know if I would at first, but the slow, subtle camaraderie between Jack and the others, they can get on each other's levels now. They are, and especially when Jack operates on Henry, or Ben, as his real name is. He ain't no Henry Gale. He's Benjamin. Oh, man.
I didn't know that.
And then I know. And then Juliet. What are you going to do about Juliet? I really keep, and Michael, don't you dare say this.
Okay.
And I'm not going to look it up either.
Okay, good.
I don't want any of these characters to die. If any of them do, I will have to stop the show for at least a week.
Oh, dear listeners.
For at least a week. And not this show, but stop watching Lost for at least a week.
And mourn?
And mourn.
See?
And regroup.
That's why I knew you needed to watch Lost. Right there. You just epitomized.
Well, there you go.
You would actually grieve over it.
I'm really hoping that's not your way of telling me that someone dies.
No. What I'm telling you is that is why this is fantastic storytelling, because it is character development at its finest.
Yeah, it really is. Oh, it so is.
You,
Claire.
You love these characters.
Yeah.
They're your friends.
There's not one that I don't, well. Even with the others, I can't say that I don't at least sympathize them for a little bit.
Oh boy. Okay, you just
man.
That's why you watch Lost. Brenda, do you have a
woo!
A lightning round?
I do.
You do? So then we have to trigger this. The lightning round.
And it will be in a minute.
Good.
Podcast suggestion from Nashville Public Radio.
Oh.
From Nashville.
Yes.
I've heard of it. It's called Neighbors. 20-minute podcast, more often than not about 17, 16 minutes. Just about general interest stories in Nashville. The episode I'm suggesting is part one of a two-part series over what's really become a pastime between me and Michael, barbershops. And a particular barbershop, at least
I love barbers.
Two in Nashville. The first one was opened up by a guy named Ronnie. The first one focused in this story. Ronnie was a drug dealer, sold, did whatever, turned his life around, and opened a barbershop straight out of prison.
Wow.
Interesting story. Like I said, about 17 minutes. Link in the show notes. Show notes posted at the bottom of the blog. Check it out.
That was under a minute.
Wasn't it that
awesome?
I got the egg timer right in vision. Right in vision.
All right, Brandon, what is coming up during this Christmas season on Finding Christ?
Decembermas?
Yes.
Decembermas? Holly Simber? The holidays?
Holly Jolly Simber?
Chris Simber?
Chris
Simber?
Oh, Chris Simber.
Chris Timber.
Yes.
Chris Timber. You gotta pronounce the hard T. Chris Timber.
Yes.
Next week, we're doing Arthur Christmas.
Oh, boy.
And next week after that, Christmas story.
Boo. But we will have, we should have FCC's very own Jonathan Tucker in the studio.
Oh, good. Awesome. Okay.
Talking about that. And then what after that?
Well, then we're taking a break for Christmas.
Oh, good.
We'll do a Christmas break. And then, Michael.
Yes?
I don't know what I'm going to do, but you've already got your movies picked out for the year-end countdown.
Yes! We have half of it.
Yeah. There you go. And then we're looking at starting the year, Lord willing.
And the Creek Don't Rise.
With Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yes.
Currently available on Netflix.
Get watching it now, listeners. Yeah. If you have any things that you want to, themes, send them to us preemptively.
My brother's actually in a country music class at MTSU, and they recently watched this film to see how the songs were used in the story.
Oh, good.
It's very interesting.
Wonderful.
After that, we're hitting K-Pax.
Okay, good. Ron of the potatoes has been waiting for over a year.
Yeah. After that, we're hitting The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey.
The one Middle Earth film that we have never done of Peter Jackson. Yes.
Oh, man. How could we? Well, because when we started the podcast, The Desolation of Smaug was the it film.
Yeah. So we had to start with that.
Yeah, we wanted to get that, but we never...
Even though we still ended up using clips from the first movie.
Yes. We'll see if that that happens again. And actually, I watched it the other day, and there's going to be a good tie-in with when we're able to talk about Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, actually.
Oh, sure.
So I think we're going to start a new series.
Hey. Oh.
Maybe.
So we may be closing closing one streak and opening another?
Yes, maybe. And then what else?
Well, then after The Hobbit, unexpected journey. We'll be looking at Super 8. But whatever we do.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's right here. Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network. GCT Network studio each Friday, except for today is Saturday, and next week will be Saturday. Lord willing, at around 5 p.m. Eastern Time, join us for live video and especially chat using the chat room and video player at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate. Now, to witness the fire... Oh, Rogue One! Less than 2 weeks! Oh. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 120 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema, Brendan's Monday Movie Review...
Where are they?
They're nowhere. And links to our social media profiles, visit our...
He's invisible. Was the matter with him.
Visit our website at christincinema.com. Send all email, just as our good friend, patron saint... Potatoes did this week to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
Let's say you want to leave us a voicemail.
An anonymous one?
Yeah. Blau, chain on skateboard Pete.
Chain on skateboard Pete. Skateboard Pete. Let's just say you want to be like skateboard Pete.
Uh-huh.
And bling blow us a voicemail. You can do so.
Ninny muggins.
You can do so at 507-407-GCTN. But if you can't bling blow on that line, bling blow on our backup line.
Oh.
At 507-407-4286. But let's just say you want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
You can go to iTunes if you like falafel.
I do.
I don't like falafel.
No, I do.
You can go to Stitcher if you love duct tape.
I love duct tape.
You can go to TuneIn Radio if the air gets to it.
The air got to it.
But if those three wombats don't work.
No, not those three wombats. No way.
Because this is not some cute technology like the Iron Man suit.
Because this is not some cute technology like the Iron Man suit.
Bling blow. Ooh, chain on skateboard, Pete.
You can go to Google Play Music and search them all. For Finding Christ in Cinema.
Oh, I see. Pretty good.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our forthcoming super duper secret Tolkien podcast. That's why we're doing The Hobbit. And our brothers in Texas,
the Feelnuts.
Get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
You know, I think we do the call sign for the Feelnuts better than they do because they forget our buttons sometimes.
Creepy little monkey.
And that is a wrap.
Come on, will you cut it out?
You chose.
Movies are the most powerful influence ever created.
So who wants to write a gorilla movie?
Life isn't some cartoon musical where you sing a little song and your insipid dreams magically come true.
Bling blow, chain on skateboard Pete.
I thought she was talking in tongues or something.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. Transmission.
GCTnetwork.com.
This is your Great Commission Transmission.
Play it again.
Okay, one more time, just for measure.
Bling blow, chain on skateboard Pete.
Oh, skateboard Pete. Bling blow, skateboard Pete.